Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're going right to the heart of a Windows vulnerability that's got everyone in the security world talking. It's CVE-2025-21333.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know, I know.
This one's a big one.
Hearing about another vulnerability might, you know, feel like just another Tuesday.
Right.
But this one is different.
Yeah.
It's got some unique twists and turns. And trust me, it's super important that we all understand what's going on here.
Absolutely.
We're talking about a vulnerability that affects Microsoft's Hyper-V.
Right.
Now, Hyper-V, that's what you use to run virtual machines on Windows.
Exactly.
You might be thinking, wait, isn't that supposed to be a more secure way to do things?
Right.
And you're not wrong. Virtualization can be a really powerful security tool, but this vulnerability kind of flips the script. It allows attackers to gain the ultimate prize, system-level access.
Yeah, full control.
I mean, we're talking full control of your computer.
The keys to the kingdom.
Yeah. This thing's got a CVSS score of 7.8.
That's high.
Which means it's high severity, and here's the kicker, it's actively being exploited right now.
So people need to pay attention.
Needs your immediate attention.
Yeah.
But what's even more intriguing is that this vulnerability uses a brand new approach. It's like nothing we've seen before.
It's really quite clever.
Yeah. So to break down this digital puzzle and figure out what it means for you and me and all of us, we've got our amazing expert here.
Happy to be here.
So can you tell us what makes this vulnerability so unique? I mean, why is everyone so worried about it?
You hit the nail on the head when you mentioned containerized virtual machines. Things like Windows Sandbox and Defender Application Guard.
Okay.
Now, these VMs, they're designed to be really lightweight and efficient, right?
Right.
Which means they share a much closer relationship with the host operating system than a traditional VM.
Oh, okay.
But this close relationship, unfortunately, creates a potential weak point. And that's what attackers are exploiting.
Oh, so that's what makes it so dangerous. Okay. So I'm already feeling a little nervous here. Can you walk me through how this exploit actually works? I want to understand what's happening in the, you know, in the nuts and bolts.
Sure. So imagine this. The IO ring buffer is like a super organized mailroom where the virtual machine and the host OS exchange messages. It's how they communicate and keep things running smoothly.
Okay.
But in this case, the attacker has figured out how to manipulate this mailroom system. They sneak in malicious code disguised as a legitimate message.
So they're like tricking the system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They trick the system into thinking their code is something it's not. And by overwriting very specific pointers within this IO ring buffer, think of them like addresses on envelopes.
Okay.
The attacker actually gains the ability to read and write data anywhere in the kernel memory.
And that's how they get that system level access, right?
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
They're essentially hijacking functions like build daring write file and build daring read file.
Okay.
Now, these are normally used for, you know, everyday tasks like opening files or transferring data. But instead of opening a file, the attacker is using these functions to manipulate kernel memory and execute their own code with, you know, the highest level of access.
Oh, wow. It's kind of scary how something so normal, so routine, can be twisted and turned into a weapon, right?
Absolutely. And what makes this attack even more interesting is it doesn't rely on the usual methods that we see in a lot of exploits.
Oh, really? What do you mean?
Well, instead of leaking kernel addresses or manipulating what's called previous mode, this exploit uses this really clever combination of heap spraying and controlled reallocation.
Heap spraying? What is that?
So think of heap spraying like an attacker scattering keys all over a room.
Okay.
They're trying to increase their chances of finding the one that unlocks the vault. In this case, your system.
And the reallocation is them, you know, kind of rearranging the furniture.
A perfect analogy.
Okay.
By carefully controlling how objects are allocated and reallocated in memory, they can ensure that their malicious code ends up exactly where they need it.
Oh.
In a position to be executed with those system privileges.
Okay. So we've got this attacker, and they've managed to get that system-level access. Paint me a picture. What kind of damage are we talking about here? What's the, like, worst-case scenario?
Well, unfortunately, with system-level access, it's pretty much game over. Like I said earlier, keys to the kingdom. They can do just about anything. They could steal your data, you know, your sensitive data. They could lock up your files with ransomware. They could disable your security software.
Oh, God.
And even use your computer to launch attacks on other people.
It's chilling to think that even something like Windows Sandbox,
right,
which is designed to be secure,
right,
could be, you know, turned into a weapon.
Exactly. And that's why this one is so alarming. It really highlights the fact that even tools designed for security can have, you know, unforeseen weaknesses.
Right. So this isn't just a problem for, like, you know, the tech-savvy people out there.
Yeah.
This impacts everyone.
It does.
I mean, businesses, organizations, governments, like, everyone's got to be scrambling to deal with this.
Absolutely. And for organizations, the stakes are even higher. We're talking about, you know, potentially massive data breaches, financial losses, reputational damage. Imagine an attacker gains access to a company's servers.
Right.
I mean, they could steal customer data, financial records, proprietary algorithms, you name it.
And it's not just the direct impact of, like, the data theft.
Right.
You're also talking about disruption.
Huge disruption. I mean, they could shut down critical systems, disrupt communication networks, halt production lines, or even launch further attacks on other connected devices.
Right.
It's a ripple effect that can really cripple an organization.
So what can we do about it? I mean, we talked about updating.
Right.
But that feels like the bare minimum, right?
Right.
What else? What other steps can we take to really bolster our defenses?
Well, one crucial strategy is implementing what's known as the principle of least privilege.
Okay.
And this means giving users only the permissions they absolutely need to do their jobs. So by limiting administrative privileges, you're essentially reducing the potential blast radius of an attack.
So it's like having multiple layers of security, right?
Yes.
Even if one layer is compromised, the attacker doesn't have free rein over everything.
Precisely. It's about compartmentalizing risk and making it much harder for attackers to escalate their privileges.
That makes sense. But it feels like, you know, even with all these precautions, we're kind of playing catch up with these attackers. They're constantly finding new ways to exploit things.
Yeah, it's a cat and mouse game. That's why monitoring is so critical.
Okay.
Tools like endpoint detection and response, or EDR.
CDR.
Yeah, they could be incredibly helpful here. Think of them as security cameras for your computer, constantly monitoring for any signs of suspicious activity.
I like that. So if somebody tries to, like, sneak in the back door, these tools will sound the alarm.
Exactly. They can detect those subtle patterns of behavior that often indicate an attack, and they can alert security teams in real time, giving them the opportunity to intervene and hopefully prevent further damage.
So we've got, you know, updating, security features, least privilege, and monitoring. Are there any other strategies that, you know, we should be thinking about?
Well, beyond the technical measures, there's something even more fundamental: staying informed.
Oh, okay.
The cybersecurity landscape is constantly shifting. New threats are emerging all the time. It's crucial to stay up to date on the latest vulnerabilities and attack techniques.
So where can people go to get reliable information about this stuff without getting totally overwhelmed?
There are a ton of great resources out there. Security blogs, news sites, industry forums, podcasts like this one.
Yeah.
The key is to find sources you trust. You know, sources that can break down complex topics in a clear and understandable way.
And don't forget about official sources too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, Microsoft security bulletins.
Yes.
Those are a must read for anyone who uses Windows.
Absolutely. Those provide detailed information about specific vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
You know, including mitigation steps and patch availability and all that good stuff.
So it sounds like staying ahead of the curve in cybersecurity is kind of a journey, not a destination.
It is. It's a constant process of learning, adapting, and evolving our defenses. Got to stay one step ahead of those attackers.
Well, you've definitely given us a lot to think about. I'm curious, do you have any final thoughts on the bigger picture, you know, the long-term implications of this vulnerability?
You know, this vulnerability really forces us to kind of challenge our assumptions about security.
Mm.
You know, we often focus on building these higher walls.
Right.
But what about those unexpected cracks, those subtle design flaws that we haven't even considered?
Yeah. It's like we're so busy fortifying the front door that we forget to check for hidden tunnels.
Right.
Or back doors or something like that.
Exactly. And that's what makes CVE-2521333 so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it exposes a weakness in a feature window sandbox that was specifically designed with security in mind.
It's ironic.
Yeah. It's a reminder that even tools that are meant to enhance our security, if they're not carefully designed and implemented,
right,
they can have unintended consequences. They can actually become vulnerabilities themselves.
So it's almost like a paradox.
Yeah.
You know, the more complex our systems become,
right,
the more potential entry points there are for attackers.
Absolutely.
And as we move towards, you know, cloud computing and the Internet of Things and everything,
right,
that attack surface just keeps expanding.
The big challenge.
It feels overwhelming. Yeah. Is there even a way to keep up?
Well, I think part of the answer lies in collaboration.
Okay.
You know, security researchers, software developers, cybersecurity professionals, even individual users.
Yeah.
We all need to work together, share information, learn from each other's experiences.
It's like a collective immune system.
Yeah.
You know, for the digital world.
Exactly. The more we share,
yeah,
the stronger our defenses become.
We need to be proactive, not reactive.
Right? Absolutely. We can't just wait for attacks to happen before we start, you know, looking for solutions. We need to anticipate threats, identify vulnerabilities, develop those robust defenses before they're exploited.
Yeah.
And that requires, you know, ongoing research, constant innovation.
Right.
And a willingness to adapt to a constantly changing landscape.
So it's not just about building better tools.
Right.
It's about really cultivating this mindset of, you know, security awareness.
Yes.
Where everyone understands their role in protecting themselves and their, you know, their organizations and stuff.
I love that. It's about fostering a culture where security is everyone's responsibility. From the individual user practicing good password hygiene to the CEO making cybersecurity a top priority.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening.
It has been.
It's shown us just how vulnerable our systems can be.
Yeah.
But I think more importantly, you know, it's given us a roadmap for how to strengthen our defenses and stay ahead of the curve. So as we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with this. What other seemingly harmless tools or features in our digital lives could become gateways for attackers? It's a question worth thinking about because the answer might really surprise you. You know, staying vigilant, staying informed, and staying adaptable are the keys to navigating this complex world of cybersecurity. So thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay safe.